This week, NHPR is digging into New Hampshire's manufacturing sector, what's been lost and what could be regained in the years ahead. Today, we're going to look at how one company, a toy maker in Keene, has navigated 60 years of change in that industry. Todd Bookman has the story.
In 1957, Penny and Bill Clark took a leap of faith.
They answered an ad in the Wall Street Journal, actually, which is pretty funny. It said, do you want to come help run a toy company?
Scott Clark is the youngest son of Penny and Bill, and today he's the president of Douglas Toys.
In fact, here's a picture of them at Toy Fair in the early 1960s.
Clark smiles over an old photograph of his parents at a trade show. They're all dressed up, surrounded by stuffed animals in all shapes, colors, and sizes.
So these were obviously all made in the U.S., but they did very well. In the 60s and 70s, they had a thriving business.
Douglas sold its toys around the country, but all the cutting, stuffing, and stitching was done in Keene. During the late 1970s, they peaked with more than 80 employees, including Crystal Roakes. She was one of the stitchers. Roakes says by the 1980s, the company saw their competitors move manufacturing jobs like hers overseas, where they could pay workers less. Suddenly, the Douglas toys were more expensive than everyone else's.
And once one person makes the jump, you don't have a choice. I mean, and Douglas held on as long as we possibly could to a stitching floor here. And eventually, you either sink or swim.
Douglas decided to swim, completely reshaping how they do business. The company scrapped its own production floor and moved its manufacturing to Indonesia and China. Two-plus decades later, its sales are 10 times higher than they were. But the company only employs half the number of people. Doug Irwin, a trade economist at Dartmouth, says manufacturers around the country have had to make this same trade-off.
It would be nice, obviously, if they kept their employment up at 80 and provided those jobs for others. But if the alternative is you lose those 80 jobs because the whole firm goes out of business, well, that's not a good outcome.
Douglas, he says, has adapted to a global economy in a similar way to another company, a company you may not associate with plush toys, Apple.
So you might think there could be nothing further than two products, one being an iPhone, which is incredibly technologically sophisticated, and a teddy bear, which is just a stuffed animal. But the production process and what's going on, the globalization of production, is exactly the same in the two cases.
Apple doesn't manufacture its iPhones in California, but it designs and develops there because that's where the talent is. Same goes for Douglas. It's responded to the changing marketplace by keeping its higher-paying, skill-based work, the design, marketing, and logistics, in Keene. But it's moved its assembly line work, the cutting, stuffing, and stitching, overseas. For most manufacturers in New Hampshire, it only makes financial sense to make a good locally if it's what economists call high value added, something that requires skills not just to design, but also to physically produce, like precision medical devices and high-end aerospace components. The math just doesn't add up these days when you're talking stuffed animals.
This is a gorgeous dog. This is a German Shorthair Pointer, and you can see all the different colored fabrics that are in him. He's in all the parts that the design room put in him. He's just a gorgeous piece.
You get the impression that Scott Clark is a sensitive man. He does not speak lightly about what it was like to lay off his stitchers, even three decades later. But he's also not afraid to brag a bit about Douglas's ability to navigate the manufacturing landscape.
If you can't get there one way, you've got to find another path to success. So we've managed to survive and be quite successful with just a different business model.
So could there be a scenario where Douglas and other New Hampshire companies make more locally? Are there trade deals or tax policies that could rewrite the business model again? We'll dig into those questions tomorrow. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.